Welcome to the Hold the Maneuver podcast. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mike. We're two hardworking dads trying to merge ourselves into Star Wars and fit it into our very busy lives.
If this is your first time listening and or watching, in this sometimes short-form Star Wars podcast, we'll share our thoughts on different topics from a galaxy far, far away. So join us as we prepare to execute the Hold the Maneuver.
All right, you gotta go to Arizona, don't you?
Hello, everyone. And welcome to another episode of the Hold a Maneuver podcast. That walk was, you know, I think I'm going to try to figure out how to do teleportation in the future. Just so.
I think there's a thing called the world within worlds. You can just.
Yeah, or sex. Get in that world between worlds. Go for it.
Force projection, maybe. Just pull a Luke Skywalker. I'm actually still in New York. I'm actually sitting off to the left of Mike, but I'm projecting my physical body space back into Arizona.
Just fourth walk.
Just because. Yeah.
Someone's got to use it. They don't use it in Star Wars anymore.
Yeah, the fast walking, the speedy speed that they only do in Phantom Menace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or in the Super Star Wars video game from Super Nintendo. But yeah, so this is episode 50, and as you can see, we have joining with us again.
Episode L.
Yeah, episode L in Roman numeral. If you had saw this podcast episode and you're like, episode L, what does that mean? But yeah, Aspen is here again because she is our Ahsoka expert. So welcome back.
Aspen. Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Am I an Ahsoka expert or am I just so deeply in love with her?
Is the question how all experts are formed?
Yeah, right. They start.
out of the three of us, you are the Ahsoka expert.
That's very kind. It's fine. I just want to do good. I want to do good by her, my dear Ahsoka. Nice. So very happy to be here.
Nice. Yeah. So with that, I believe you had something Ahsoka possibly related to tell us.
Oh. Yeah. I got it. Joke question. I got a question. Hey, what do you call a Jedi with a water gun?
Dead.
Well, so uncivilized.
That's good. I think that's good. I do. I think I get that you're it's supposed to be a bad joke, but I would actually say both of those are really good.
Well, thank you.
But what do you call them?
Yeah, but yeah, what do you call
them? Oh, what do I call them? Me?
Yeah.
I thought I was just going to be asking the question. Oh, I don't know. Maybe like a gray hat at noon?
Nice. Or Ahsoka.
Ahsoka. Ahsoka. There it is. There it is.
Or as they were called in the 90s, Ahsoka.
Ahsoka.
Do they still make those?
What?
Do they still make Super Soakers?
I know there's an entire Boy Meets World episode about like a water war with like a huge like Super Soaker pump gun that had like the backpack. I remember those were always the ones that you wanted to get. They just had the backpack was full of water.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
and yeah. That was the 90s, so that was pretty recent. So probably they still have them.
It's like within the past 10 years.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so this episode, so next week, the Disney Plus series Ahsoka finally begins on August 23rd. So we figured with this episode, we would do a look back and maybe like a refresher course or just a crash course in general for maybe people that may not know all of Ahsoka's backstory. So that's also why we invited Aspen this week, because as you can see by her background, she is a lover of Ahsoka. So again, welcome to back to the show.
Thank you. And I guess if there's anybody who's not watching, I very much tried to find the best picture I could find where she could be seen behind me so we could just be like hanging out like we're buddies.
All right. So now with talking about Ahsoka, do you guys want to go in the release? Like a order of her story?
Can I actually ask a question? Sure. A quick question. So we've done, I was, you were so kind to have me on to talk about the Ahsoka trailer. Mike, as I recall, you aren't like, you haven't watched a ton of Ahsoka stuff, but like Mark, you're a fan of Ahsoka. I guess I am curious, before we go into this, like the interest, excitement level is, like what you're feeling about the show. As
oh yeah, so for me, like I'm definitely looking forward to it a lot. I just being like a big fan of hers just throughout, like from like the Clone Wars, and which we were originally going to record this yesterday, which was the 15th anniversary of Ahsoka's first appearance. Yay. In the theatrically released Star Wars, the Clone Wars movie, which is effectively like the pilot to the Clone Wars TV show. And maybe not like the best like movie. It's got a little Jabba, or not a little hut, like a little
baby hut.
Baby hut.
Like a little hutling.
Yeah. He's got the sweet, nicknamed Stinky.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's also like her first costume was like a tube top, which they quickly got rid of too. Like if people are watching too, you can kind of, we have like a picture like on screen. That's like, kind of like an evolution of her from her first appearance up through Rosario Dawson in The Mandalorian. So she's had a few different like lightsaber changes, a few different costume changes throughout her appearances, whether it's like in Clone Wars to Rebels to Mandalorian. So it's been interesting to kind of track that too. But yeah, I've liked Ashley Eckstein.
You know, I don't know. You were saying Eckstein earlier, and I was like,
Frankenstein.
Oh, no. Yeah, she's actually she's the doctor and the monster Eckstein.
But yeah, I've always thought she's done a great job as Ahsoka and embodying her, like both like anytime she has appeared like at a convention or just doing her voice and anything that she's shown up in as. So it's kind of been interesting with that handoff too, like as far as like from the animation to live action aspect of it. She was, if anybody listens to Animation Fascination, she was here for the Phoenix Fan Fusion a month or so ago.
Oh,
her James Arnold Taylor, Matt Lanter was supposed to be here too, but I guess he had like heat stroke basically from doing yard work.
Voice of Anakin, Matt.
Yes. And they were making fun of him because he wasn't there, and also because they're like, he should have known better than to be doing so much physical work before he had to be here.
Yeah,
but real that
sky guy move. Hell yeah.
But yeah, like that. That was a cool panel to go to like finally kind of like see them talking about the characters live and everything, and see kind of like their camaraderie with that. He's also been like a big proponent for people with like mental health too, which I've always like, she focuses so much on that. And she said at that panel too that I guess she wasn't going to be in this like first season at all, but she had gone to the set. But I kind of hope that they do like figure something out for her to be in it, because I mean, like Matt Lanter had like, you know, like that little cameo spot like in Mandalorian. I'm sure, they're probably still trying to figure something out to put James. So it would be cool to like have her and Rosario like interact in some way, like on the Ahsoka show, kind of like a baton passing or back. And she did kind of talk about it in a way with like, even though she originated the role, it's like, it's not like hers. So like the same way that like some other characters have like started in live action, they've gone to animation, like with like James Earl Taylor like playing Obi-Wan in that, but like Alec Guinness playing the character, or Ewan McGregor, how it's like a kind of like a partnership going back and forth like that. It's not like mutually exclusive just to her to only ever play the role. She's like, yeah, I know that, you know, that like Bo-Katan, same in both, and a few others have like translated over both, but
yeah,
I think it's kind of like an interesting perspective, at least for, because I know like a lot, like initially when Ahsoka was coming to live action, a lot of people were like, oh, Ashley Eckstein should just play Ahsoka in live action because she is Ahsoka. So I don't know, I guess as far as that, what's your thought as far as, I guess, that role swap changeover?
I was obviously, I was just thinking about this because I knew we were going to talk and chat a lot about it. A mutual friend of Kenny and mine's, Heidi, she was on our podcast. I feel like I should be like, oh, our podcast now. Mm-hmm. But she had texted both of us and she was like, Aspen, should I watch the Ahsoka show? And I was like, I absolutely think you should. I'm excited for it. Also, I feel like this is the perfect time to call out the writers and the actors strike. And I was like, I had this fear. I was like, are we crossing picket lines by talking about this? But then I was looking it up.
Gray area.
I know people were like, no, actually, if you do watch, it shows like the streaming numbers and what it is. So I'm gonna live in that space of like support. But I'm excited for it.
Only, I was gonna say it would only be like if myself or Mike or you was a SAG member.
Yeah. Right. So we like support. We support writers. We support actors.
Yes.
Just everybody, so you know. but I do think a part of me feels I'm excited for it, and also I think that Ahsoka is such an incredibly well thought out character visually. Voice acting wise, writing everything about her, that a part of me is a little bit like, why does something have to be live action to be seen as better? And I get that there's more appeal to it, so you can take her to a wider audience, and I'm all for that. But I do think that a part of Ahsoka is sort of where a lot of her magic lies is in the investment of her over time, because she, she got to start out as a truly annoying 14-year-old. I never found her to be annoying. A lot of people found her to be annoying, but she was a 14-year-old and she was thrust into a position. So maybe we'll start getting into it a little bit. She was thrust into the position of kind of because of the war, because of the Clone Wars. So she went from being a Padawan who was really young and then kind of became part of this battle by necessity. So she's young, she's talented, she's a little reckless, she's fearless, and she's thrown in, and she's, because of that, you're like, God. And then she got the time to really build and literally grow over years and years and years, and you get to kind of be with her during that growth. And I think the magic of it is feeling so close to someone who feels so well-rounded. So in that way, I do feel a little bit like sad, because I'm like, you know, I mean, I like this older version of Ahsoka for sure, and I know Rosario Dawson is committed to it, and I'm gonna enjoy it, I'm gonna like it. And then another part of me is like, and also, like, you know, there's so much depth here that I wish people had, that I hope we don't let go of, I think is what my thought is, you know.
Right,
that's where I'm at.
Nice. And then, Mike, from your viewpoint, like, kind of, not like, you know, a bit like about Ahsoka from like what you've seen from Mando and probably like tangentially some other things that you've watched there. So like, what is, like, at least with your viewpoint coming into the Ahsoka show, what are you excited to see in that? And from what you know of like what's going to be in it, what are you excited about?
I mean, I've been watching recaps and her storyline now as much as I can the past 3 days just to prepare. I never realized, because going back to a comment Aspen made, like how you want it to be animated, like you don't need live action. I struggle with animated Star Wars, not because it's not good, but because it just feels like less magical, I guess. Like the practical effects and the kind of almost cheesiness of the effects at times is Star Wars to me.
Oh, Gotcha.
So, like, animation, like, you can make it whatever you want. It's not like you had to, like, do these elaborate setups and just for one little turn of the head. I don't know. Something about it, so I just struggle with it. So I started Rebels. I haven't had much time to continue Rebels. I'm, like, in episode 5. I haven't watched a single episode of Clone Wars.
Yeah, there's a lot.
But there's so many different ways you can watch Clone Wars. You can watch it as it was released, or you can they released like a chronological order version of it. So,
It's just I'm very interested to just see her story in general, since she was in Mando and there was such a oh my god moment for so many people. I was like, okay, who is this now? And watching the recaps I've watched, I was like, I didn't realize she had that much backstory. And story in general. I never realized that. She has a lot more story than most characters in Star Wars.
Yes. Isn't that wild? I would like, this is, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
No, you're good. You're good.
Just because I'm so excited about this. I truly love, because I was watching, I think Mark, you, or what one of you had sent over the video that like Disney, Mark sent over the like kind of Lucasfilm, like, apprentice and like master kind of video that's talking about the sort of the background of Ahsoka and the show and like Dave Filoni's relationship with it and how when he first when he was working with George Lucas on Clone Wars, because you know it started as a Lucas venture, there was this great moment where he was like, George Lucas was like, I want him to have a Padawan, and Filoni was like, Anakin doesn't have a Padawan, and Lucas was like, Anakin has a Padawan. And to go,
right.
Okay. And to go, sounds very George Lucas, to go from that and then to literally become, and I'm not lying, I think truly one of the best characters in Star Wars with one of the deepest growth arcs and absolutely beloved. And again, and the fact that, to your point, like because she exists solely up until The Mandalorian in animated stuff, people just don't know. And her literal existence and her relationship with Anakin is partly what makes the prequels better. Like, it makes the whole story of Star Wars better. Literally, she helps make, I think, Anakin's fall, who he is, make far more sense. It has a lot more emotional depth. She's like a linchpin. She's also maybe like a fulcrum, if you will. So, whatever. Maybe the balance. She's the balance, you guys.
I was thinking that I made a note. She was the true chosen one because of how she was able to say, okay, I see the Jedi for what they are. It's not really...
Yeah, dude. I have a lot of feelings about this. I wonder if part of the reason Ahsoka is so great to me is because I secretly
dislike the Jedi.
Yeah, because I don't not so secretly dislike the Jedi, and what she becomes is perfect. I think she is truly like the embodiment of what the best manifestation of them could be. Mm-hmm. So
nice. I kind of agree with you with my limited knowledge. So
so I'll read like a quick kind of like her origin kind of synopsis really quick for you guys.
Yeah.
So Ahsoka Tano, a force-sensitive Turugruta female, was a former Jedi Padawan who, after the Clone Wars, helped establish a network of various rebel cells against the Galactic Empire. Tano was discovered on her world of Shili by Jedi Master Plo Koon, who brought her to the Jedi Temple on Coruscant to receive Jedi training. Following the outbreak of the Clone Wars, Jedi Grandmaster to be the Padawan learner of Jedi Knight Anakin Skywalker, who nicknamed her Snips, and she would call him Sky Guy. So when she joined, where Tom was eager to prove herself, Skywalker reputation for recklessness, and they had a rather difficult start as a master and apprentice. So and then like she also with Captain Rex of the 501st, and sign up to that. I really kind of hope that we see Captain Rex pop in Ahsoka somewhere, possibly. I mean, it's more Morrison's like, hey, I'm here. I would like to do things. He had that little cameo in Kenobi. Yeah. And I don't remember if it's been proven that it's canon now or if it's not canon, but that he's the dude with the white beard in Return of the Jedi. There's that group of people, and I don't remember. He used to be called the character used to be called Nick. It was a play on him being Santa Claus or Saint, how Star Wars. Very tongue in cheek, or Claus or something. But now it's supposed to have been retroactively changed so that that's Rex at the battle of at the end battle of Endor. So he was there because they did a bunch of those Power of the Force shorts too that Harrison Dula was in from Rebels. Mm-hmm. And Rex showed up in those, and some of those happened right after the Return of the Jedi.
Nick Sant, is that who you're talking about?
Yeah, Nick Sant. Yeah. So, it's supposed to be a little play on Saint Nick. I don't know. I'm hoping that Captain Rex is also in Ahsoka somewhere.
Listen.
That sounded weird.
Maybe we should go from kind of chronological order and do a retrospective.
Yeah. I guess maybe start with Tales of the Jedi as far as timeline wise.
Yeah. It's all mixed up in the way that it was presented because I was thinking about this earlier that season 7 of Clone Wars, came out after Rebels. And season 7 of Clone Wars is actually, that's obviously pre-Rebels. It's with Order 66 and stuff. And then, Tales of the Jedi goes all the way back, and then there's stuff that's in there as well. So there's a bit of some timey-wimey stuff all around. So I was doing my notes, and I realized as I was putting her stuff in chronological order, I was in this was Clone Wars, this was Tales of the Jedi. So, and throughout all of it, the beautiful connective tissue that is the Ahsoka Rex best friendship, my favorite thing in the entire world. But yeah, yes, it is Tales of the Jedi, where she is a little bebé. She's a little, and this is something that came out very recently, and I was delighted to see it. Because I knew that Plo Koon was the one who found her, came and basically since discovered her and then took her back when she was very young, which as is the Jedi way, take little babies when you find out they're force sensitive. But she was indeed force sensitive, and there is a sort of in that, folks haven't seen it, we don't have to get into so many details, but it's very sweet. She's able to have this connection with this kind of large terrifying cat rides it back into the village like a little baby. Just a little baby on a big cat. That's one of my favorite things in the world. So yeah, she starts out kind of fearless and wonderful.
I know with Plo Koon with that at least too, I think it's supposed to be a callback to originally when they were developing her for Clone Wars, before George Lucas said no, Anakin's her master, she's his Padawan. It was going to be that Plo Koon was her master and she was his apprentice. But then when George Lucas said, that's what happens. Because I'm pretty sure that Plo Koon is Dave Filoni's favorite Jedi.
I mean, yeah, and also he's rad.
As far as I can remember. Yeah.
I mean, it would make sense. He's got a weird face. It's probably the best thing is to have a species that has a weird ass face but is very kind. that's the greatest. There's a whole thing. There's a bit, I think it's in Clone Wars, it's in something where he could actually survive out in outer space or something. I don't know, something about, yeah,
because it's a mask.
It's a mask. Yeah, he's got this mask on. It's pretty rad. I like that. I didn't know about that connection. But it's a sweet sort of connective tissue because she, unlike Anakin, she's a typical sort of brought him when you're a baby, you're a Padawan, you're trained up to be this thing and to be this future Jedi. And this is your whole life, which is huge. Explains a lot of why she's so talented. You know, she's had all of this, but also she just herself is incredible and committed. Sorry, this is just the Aspen loves Ahsoka hour.
No worries.
And that's why we asked you to come on this episode.
We need someone to gush. Before we move forward, I saw something and I don't know the validity of it, but when Rex and Ahsoka first meet, they're both 14 technically.
Because
the cloning works.
What do you even? I think he's younger than 14.
I don't know. That's why I don't know the validity of it.
That's funny.
14 days?
Yeah, right.
14 weeks?
She is definitely 14. Obviously, they have sped up lives. Yeah. But I don't know how old
Omega technically being the same age as the rest of the Bad Batch, but.
Yeah.
Not physically.
They might be 14 too.
Yeah, in that case, that is true. And I'm trying to think of when the Bad Batch, because Bad Batch show up in Clone Wars. So maybe like about 14 or a little earlier or a little later. Maybe that is true. I wouldn't. Yeah. But, you know, it's kind of like he's very much like a mentor figure to her. Mm-hmm. So she gets to have two. She gets to have her like brother character and who's like brother mentor and her like mentor character, best friend. Mm-hmm.
And then the angry dad who has to keep them all together. Obi-Wan Kenobi.
What am I going to do with you?
And I remember like in the Clone Wars thinks that Ahsoka to be his Padawan, but then Yoda's like, he's like, I can't have two Padawans. And he's like, yeah, she's not your Padawan, she's Anakin's. Anakin's like, what?
Yeah, she's the one. She says it to him. Which I love that. This is what I was saying earlier. I was like, Ahsoka brings so much to Anakin because if you go by the Jedi logic of like, well, you need to learn how to let go. Like, it makes sense to be like, okay, this is a healthy kind of like almost like a therapeutic situation of like, you have someone who will inevitably will leave you because she will grow beyond you like leave. Right. So good to have this person that you can be very close to, and then you can let go of to kind of teach you this thing because, you know, everyone else is dead. So for you. And it is really valuable, and it actually becomes interesting to kind of go out of order a little bit. Despite that, he is obviously incredibly like attached to her, and there's so in the Clone Wars, she meets, she's like, okay, yeah, Obi-Wan, you're not my guy. It's actually Sky Guy over here. And they, you know, she becomes his Padawan. There's a lot of, there's, you know, there's, she's in like all the Clone Wars episodes, almost all of them. And there's one where she and another Padawan, Barriss, are like buried basically under this, like this thing collapses on them. And, Barriss's master, who is I think Luminara is like, you know, I mean, like, we'll try to save him, but like, it's I'm ready to let her go, you know. And Anakin's like, are you fucking joking me? Like, what? Like, because he loves her, right? He cares so much about her. That's actually one of the like seminal episodes, because there's some other bits that happen too about maybe Ahsoka expressing some things that lead Barriss to some of her actions later. But it's an interesting kind of thing to me too, because I also don't believe that it makes any sense to be like, well, I mean, they're great, but if they die, they die. Like, it's just, it's not about a nice letting go thing. That feels very cruel. And so I could see, you can actually see the shape of Anakin's struggle even coming into play here, where it's like backfiring a little bit. He's like, okay, well, I could let her go, but I'm not gonna let her die, you know? So he loves her, and it's great, I think.
Which with you saying that too, that like helps define that a little bit more with like his guilt for his mom dying, as well as like later on in Revenge of the Sith with trying to make sure that Padme doesn't die.
Yes. Which is why, again, Yoda, I gotta just question the way you look at life. Like, what is your deal?
Well, the one thing I took from her being his Padawan was Yoda's like, She's kind of like you. You're going to have to learn to deal with yourself.
That was his actual unspoken thing, right?
Yeah. And like they kind of like rub off on one another, like where like she becomes like a little bit more brash and like a little bit more reckless with like the way she takes on stuff, like her like fighting in general is a little bit more like not chaotic but like
aggressive or
aggressive aggressive negotiations aggressive to like the to, like in the same kind of way that like Anakin would take on stuff. We didn't really talk about Asajj Ventress, but she has a little bit of influence on Ahsoka too, because like when Ahsoka originally shows up, she just has the one saber. Eventually we'll have the two, which I believe is
Just cool.
Somewhat influenced. Well, yeah, it is cool. But it's also, I think it's also somewhat like influenced because Asajj Ventress had two. And then she like Ahsoka even has like the like this, like you know, she holds it like with the one like back and like just like the cool, and like it's not canon anymore, but like Starkiller did that too, like in the Force Unleashed video game too, with Sam Witwer, who was also did the voice for Palpatine for a little bit in Clone Wars and did the voice of Maul in Clone Wars as well too.
Per Google, she has two lightsabers and holds them that way because she practices Jar Kai. There you go.
There, yeah. Like a form six kind of thing, Jar Kai plus form six. I love that, and I'm going to believe that it's because she met Ventress, fought Ventress, truly one of the coolest bad bitches around, and was like, how can I be like that but like not evil?
And if people don't know who Ventress is too, she was Dooku's apprentice in the Clone Wars. And if you ever saw the Genndy Tartakovsky micro series from like back in 2004, Asajj Ventress was in that too. And that was originally how they explained how Anakin got the scar over his eye. It was from Asajj, like in a duel that they had. But that stuff is also not canon anymore too. So who knows how Anakin.
Well, in my research, it's funny because one of the videos I watched was like the reason why Ahsoka's happening was because Disney bought Lucasfilms. And was like, canon's not a thing anymore. Don't worry about it.
Oh, my gosh.
So everything's canon now.
Yeah. You know what? We get to make our canon. Ventress is, she's a knight sister. She's a Dathomir witch, as I like to call it. So where Maul is from, Dathomir. And which makes for some, those are some of the best, I think, Clone Wars episodes. They're just so good. But she's, and then she's Dooku's, like you said, Dooku's person.
Dooku's taken baby.
Yeah, taken baby.
So some of the highlights of Clone Wars, too, because we can kind of do some more highlights and then move into Rebels, is there was the Mortis trilogy within the Clone Wars, which, again, featuring Sam Witwer in another role in Star Wars. I don't know. I think that dude's probably played more characters in Star Wars than maybe anybody else, because he was even like an antagonist in this last stretch of like the Bad Batch season two episodes too.
Oh yeah.
So like he's been, I think, maybe 6-7 different people at this point within within there. Most notably Maul, but so yeah, like the Mortis trilogy is like, they never kind of really define it as if it's a planet or if it's like they somehow got like
weird world.
It's not the world between worlds, but it's not like not that. And it's like the father, a brother and a sister, and like the brother and sister resemble like the light side and the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short of the episode, like Anakin sees a vision of the future, or I don't know if like he necessarily sees that, but like in the vision, you can see like you know, eventually Vader,
so,
and they show like a little bit more premonitions of, or like stuff of like him like dueling like Obi-Wan and stuff in there, and then like Ahsoka quote-unquote dies within that, and again, long story short, the sister essentially like transfers her like life force.
Based on the recap I saw, sorry, I'm gonna be that guy.
Oh,
I know, it's like they're part of that. Like,
Mark, you're getting mansplained too.
Exactly.
She's involved.
I thought she was dying as well, and the dad approved Anakin to like take her life.
Oh yeah, like
I don't know.
But
I know she's like attached to like the owl as well too, like that you constantly like see between Morai. This and then eventually Rebels. I'm kind of hoping that you see Morai in Ahsoka too.
So Morai did show up. I think it was in Mandalorian. I remember I saw her in something. Yeah, she's a Convor, like this representation or like embodiment of the daughter. I remember seeing her in something, and it must have been maybe it was like right before Ahsoka showed up in the Mandalorian. I can't recall, but I remembered squeaking like I was just like brah like what because she's with her, she's there, she like kind of watches over her. That Mortis arc is wild. It's like the most lore heavy of like the Clone Wars episodes. It is,
I think,
like
we're going back there too with some announced
I'm sure there's some like it's like wild in there. And I think they like as I recall, they just like wipe everybody's memories at the end because they don't know. They don't know that like he's going to become Vader, and they don't know these pieces.
Yeah, I think that's what if the recap I watched was correct. Yep. As they were leaving, they like wiped it so nobody could remember anything.
Everyone's like, what? What was the point?
Ahsoka has no idea that she died.
Yeah, but she's just followed around by this cute little owl thing.
She's like, oh, well, that's cool. Like,
that's nice. That's nice.
They do kind of like they don't fully touch back on it, but they kind of like touch a little bit on the Mortis like family again later on in Rebels.
In Rebels. It's so cool. Sorry.
No worries. But like you had you had brought up Barriss Offee earlier and Luminara. So and Barriss is more or less the reason eventually like why Ahsoka leaves the Jedi Order. So again, long story short with that, someone gets killed. They think Ahsoka did it. Ahsoka's trying to prove that she didn't do it. They expel her, and then Anakin like finds or is like, nah, no. And finds out that it was like Barriss that was the one that did it. So then they're like, oh, sorry, our bad. Ahsoka, and then she's like, nah, I'm cool. I'm not gonna come back to this. So you guys can like suck eggs and get the
suck eggs.
I'm gonna mansplain a touch. There is like a bombing at the Jedi Temple.
Yeah.
Like it was like a big fucking deal.
Don't go to the Jedi Temple.
Yeah, it was like it was this wild. As a quick aside, I was going through, I considered watching the last four episodes of season 7 of Clone Wars because as I like to say, it's my favorite Star Wars movie. But I was like, and actually right now Disney Plus has like the like essential Ahsoka episodes. And it is basically all the ones I would tell people to watch. So I was like, well, you did it. Great job. And that arc is like three episodes or something, like a three episode arc, because it starts out with it happening and they're, you know, Anakin and she are like doing all this, you know, like investigating. And then, she's accused. It's exactly as you say. And she has to like, she actually, speaking of interest, she like escapes and like kind of goes into like the depths of Coruscant, which is a place she'll end up again. And she actually makes kind of like a sort of gentleman's agreement kind of thing with like Asajj Ventress, like where they work together, like because at that point Ventress is going through some stuff.
Oh yeah.
But sorry, and I know I'm like the point of what you're trying to get to, of course, I don't want to like speak over it because it is essential, which is like Annika's like, no, it's actually Barriss, and they're like, yeah, like no, and she's like, are you actually joking me? Like, absolutely not. Which is like, to me, that is of course peak Ahsoka. That is it, right? Because her values are so strong. It's like they wronged her so badly, and she can perceive so strongly where they are falling apart and where they do not measure up and how they're just, they're playing politics and they're not actually leaning into what they truly believe in, which leads, of course, to Anakin's choices too. And yeah, this exact picture, like her leaving is devastating. So Yeah.
Yeah.
That whole storyline.
And yeah, so like.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to say the same thing as you probably.
Go ahead. We'll see.
I was just going to say that, like, that's like another thing with like another person that Anakin is connected to, like greatly, like holds that relationship dear to himself. So like, it's another person that he's losing. It's not like a death, but it's like another person that's like leaving his like a life essentially at that point. So it's like another ticking thing that's like getting him closer and closer and closer to that eventual fall.
Now I have 2 points because did not say what I was going to do. Right. One, I wish they had mentioned Ahsoka in the prequels somewhere outside of Clone Wars. I feel that would have helped.
I mean, I don't think she existed at that point.
When did Clone I thought Wars she happen? Did because of the, like all the, like, I don't know. Maybe she didn't. I don't know.
This would be good to look when Clone Wars, I think it was it like 2000?
No, yeah, because Clone Wars came out 2008, so it came out 3 years after.
Oh, yeah. I thought Clone Wars was coming out during it.
No, it was an after thing.
Well, the Genndy Tartakovsky 2D micro series, that did.
Okay.
But yeah. She
wasn't. I thought they were airing at the same time. My memory's not working right.
No, I mean, it's exactly that one. The other Clone Wars, yeah, she's not in it, though. Gotcha. But it was representing literally the space between the second and third movies. So, yeah.
But the other point it's come up a bunch lately when watching Star Wars was she didn't really, Order 66 happened, so it doesn't really apply to her, I guess. But what happens when someone quits the Jedi or gets flunks out or whatever? Like, what is the outcome of that? How can they just leave?
I wouldn't call this. I mean, I know you're not calling this. Definitely wouldn't call this flunking out. Because it's like, I think it's like she is actively walking away, and they have to let her walk away.
But it feels like they wouldn't, based on the way the Jedi are. Like, she knows too much situation.
Kill
her.
Yeah, right. Like, I'm not sure what I wonder if it's a really good question. Like, people must have done this. I mean, in like, there's like obviously like Jedi that fell, or you know, you've got a Dooku who like goes and like turns the dark side. But what about folks that are just like, nah, I don't think so.
Or you're the youngling who just can't stop beating paste and master your skills.
Yeah, like what if you're literally like, they were like, well, you're force sensitive, but you suck. Like, what do we do with you?
What about those? Like,
and maybe, oh man, no, I was like, maybe you could just, you're still valuable. Maybe you're just not like, I mean, there's lots of jobs. Like, you could be like Jocasta New, you could be a librarian, which is a very hard job. I'm not saying I'm just saying there's variations in jobs, you know?
So to the flashback a bit too with Ahsoka, it was one of the like the stories within Tales of the Jedi.
Yeah.
With Anakin training Ahsoka basically over and over and over and over and over and over again with the clones, which.
My dude.
I mean, he didn't know that he was effectively training her to survive what he was going to send after her.
Yeah.
Later on. But that's what he was doing.
That's what makes it a little better.
So they also just released a TV spot for Ahsoka too that had new Hayden Christensen like dialogue in it. Which sounds like happens at the same exact time.
Oh my gosh.
And I don't know like what episode of Ahsoka it's gonna be in, but it's definitely new Hayden Christensen recorded like audio that he did.
Yeah, I saw it.
Which I don't know if they're gonna show.
Speculation.
Yeah, I don't know flashback. If they're gonna show a flashback or if she's just gonna like hear that and it's gonna be like, you know, her remembering like all that training of getting stunned 800 times by the clones. It's like him like maybe I can find it, but here, like Aspen, you talk with Mike about that Tales of Jedi. I'll try to find that TV spot so I can.
Yeah, I heard it's either back, it's like 30 flashback seconds. Or a Force ghost is the prediction.
Yeah, I hadn't heard this. That's very exciting. So just to summarize, so there's this like whole first part of Ahsoka's life. There's like her being a Padawan, her learning to become a Jedi, her making mistakes, sometimes really terrible mistakes, but then learning and being better and taking chances. And like she interacts with Saw Gerrera, and so there's all these other characters,
all the players
like she's there. There's like a great like Most Dangerous Game couple of episodes where she basically like helps these other like Padawans survive. There's a bunch of wild stuff, but I think throughout it the development there is like her gaining skill sets, like gaining these deep, deep relationships. This is what's important here with Rex and all of the other clones, especially because she becomes like a general, basically, because
yeah,
she's so close to them.
They painted their helmets to look like her.
Okay. So, okay, listen, let's get to that soon.
Let's get soon.
It's a deeply like it, the like, I guess I'm not like a war person, but it's literally about like a lot of the Clone Wars episodes are war episodes, right? And it's Anakin and Obi-Wan and Ahsoka leading clones into battles. And sometimes it's them on their own skirmishes. It's them doing their things. So the relationship that she starts to build with these officers and these clones in general, and also specifically Rex as like the commander, is so deep and enduring. So like that's what you have to like hold is this feeling of like, oh gosh, like they trust her so much and she trusts them with her life and she loves Rex. Great. Cool. And also, yeah, Anakin's a really great like kind of guide for her doing things, like teaching her, like, what if you're not just like attacked by a droid? What if you're attacked by like let's have like by people, and it's the clones that she practices with to be able to defend herself against him. So that's like the whole story of it. But then she leaves, the Jedi Order because kind of like mucks about, and there's some kind of mucking about. There's some like mucking about that starts to happen in season 7 of Clone Wars, which came out after Rebels, but continues that part of her story. Looks like you found the vid.
I'll play a little bit. I'm gonna play it in like portions so that way it doesn't make this episode get taken down.
When the Order knew Anakin Skywalker, few would live to see what he became.
By the end of the Clone Wars, I walked away from him and the Jedi.
Pause.
So far. Yeah. So they just kind of told us what we had been talking about up to this point, really.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, and so here's the next bit.
In this war, you will face more than just droids. As your master, it's my responsibility to prepare you.
That's that scene. Yeah.
So, yes. So I was like,
maybe it's a flashback.
They did that heavily at Obi-Wan, so why not?
Oh my gosh.
I won't always be there to look out for you.
I could use the help.
Once a rebel, always a rebel.
Don't be afraid. And trust your instincts.
I cry. Oh no.
So weird. All right.
Oh my god. Yes.
I was like, man, that's like a play the really quick.
I know you can do this, Ahsoka.
Squeal. Yes. So I think this is the point. Okay, season 7 of Clone Wars. So very beginning of that season, she is wandering around the depths of Coruscant. She like starts like she meets a couple of women, these like mechanics. There's a whole like plot about spice running, which I think is very interesting. and then some other stuff happens with the clones because it's trying to build to this moment where like the secret of it basically is they have a chip in their brains. And when Order 66 happens, that chip clicks on and then it turns them against the Jedi. So in the last, again, four eps of Clone Wars, again, my favorite movie, she comes back because of the Siege of Mandalore. And so she comes back and she sees Anakin, and basically she is tasked with going to get Maul and part of this kind of battle. So she sees him as the last time she sees Anakin as Anakin.
Anakin, yeah.
And it's wonderful. And that's where they all like paint their helmets and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, they're all with her. Those episodes are phenomenal. Like the animation is some of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. They definitely did. They did like motion capture of like Ray Park and like other like fighters.
Oh, yeah.
Like the whole her, she has an entire like lightsaber battle with Maul that is out of control. Like it is so phenomenal, and it's in like the Great Hall and Mandalore, and it's just like falling. Oh God, it's so good. It's like falling apart. It is wild. But that, not to take up all the space, but that is when then Order 66 happens, because they've got him captured. Yeah. They're gonna go. But then, and in it, Maul too is like, he's like, I like, this is what's going to happen. Like, I know, like, you know, I know what the Emperor wants. And it's like to get like Anakin, he's going to be Vader. And she's like, at this point, she's just like, no. And she literally does not know for years. Like she only finds out in Rebels that Anakin realizes that Anakin has become Vader. So she's like, nah. And then Order 66 happens. They have him locked away. And here's the thing about Rex and her. He, because he loves her so much, even though he still has this chip in his brain, he like kind of holds himself back and gives her just enough time to be able to react. And because Anakin's taught her how to fight off all these non-droids, she's able to get away. And then it is pure art for the rest of it. Like she lets Maul out to like get away. And like Rex does some like wild like surgery to get this chip out of his head, and like it's so good. And then like, oh God. So yeah. And then all of these men die. Like all of these clones that she loves so much. Like she doesn't kill them. She's like, I'm not gonna kill my men. Like I don't care that they're trying to kill me. But like the ship crashes, it's a whole thing, and she like fakes her own death. But anyway, sorry. I know it's something everybody knows, but it's just like it's truly to me cinematic. Like I would watch it in a movie theater. It's beautiful. It's devastating. And like I think Anakin had just like given her new lightsabers, and she left them there, and she's like fakes her death, and now Vader's like, oh, dead, you know.
More death.
Because while that's happening, that's when everything else is happening in Revenge of the Sith. So it's
that's very well kind of timed up. Like those last three episodes of the Clone Wars, you could like some of the scenes sync up there too, because there's like stuff in there with Mace that's like the same stuff that he says like over like a transmission like in Revenge of the Sith.
Oh yes.
And, like someone's probably already done it, but where they've like edited like this like synced it up with like the stuff going on with like, because someone's like, if you think about it, someone's probably already like edited it and posted it on YouTube. So
yes.
Yeah, so like if you want to see it like kind of like edited together from like the last three episodes of the Clone Wars into Revenge of the Sith, I'm sure it's on YouTube. And then so kind of chronologically then from there would be like the next Tales of the Jedi short with her. That was also kind of like the same story from the book that they had released. Yes. We're actually kind of done the actual that one I don't remember.
It's basically the same story. I actually only read half the book, but my partner read the whole thing and he loves it. And I was just like, can you, I think I was listening to it and then something happened. But basically it's like a much shorter version of the book, just a little bit different. I think she goes to two different places in the book, and there's just one, and in the show, she's going by Ashla, and there's like two, it's Rada and Thabeska, and Rada might be the one in the show in the Tales of the Jedi. But in the book, this is important. She does beat an Inquisitor in the book during this time, and that's how she gets like the bright white, like that's how she gets her new lightsabers, the bright white lightsaber she has in Rebels. She actually like takes an Inquisitor kind of saber and turns it to her own.
Oh yeah, like purifies the,
yeah,
the crystal.
Yeah, the Kyber crystal. And so
nice.
Yeah, so that's a really cool thing. But yeah, she leads in this, yeah, in Tales of the Jedi in the book, you know, she leads this kind of rebellion, and that's how she ends up joining up with Bail Organa and becoming Fulcrum.
Oh, yeah. And I believe, yeah, I don't remember if it was in Tales of the Jedi, just a Padme's funeral too. I think it was Tales of the Jedi, because they kind of like show her talking with Bail there at Padme's funeral. Yeah, I can't see it. I can't remember because
of, like, it was her Tales of the Jedi. Jumps.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because she was like really close to Padme.
That was even cool to see. Yeah. Yeah. Which, see, people need to watch Clone Wars because it shouldn't have to make like Attack of Clones or Revenge of the Sith. But I wouldn't say that it makes them better. It like elevates them, so it just gives you like a different perspective.
I think it elevates them. I actually, I know that they're not that great, but I now love watching the prequels because of Clone Wars and Rebels. Like, I just do. Right. It's a wild thing to say.
I've always loved Revenge of the Sith. But yeah, so I guess like the next step from there essentially brings us to like the Rebels timeline wise. And she doesn't show up until season 2 of Rebels, but Fulcrum is in season 1. So technically, I guess she's kind of in season 1. But we don't find out. Spoiler, Mike, Ahsoka's Fulcrum.
Yeah.
I already knew that from the recaps I've watched. So.
Which is funny because like it's pretty like she's, yeah, that's, it's a really good point, because also the end of Rebels is really when it's like for a season they're like, we're just kind of doing jobs, and then at the very end of it it's like Hera's like, listen, we're Rebels. I've been like working with them all along and we're gonna do this, and that's when they really become like actually working for the rebellion. And yeah, and she's been Fulcrum, and I remember the excitement. I was like Ahsoka's Fulcrum, right? Ahsoka's Fulcrum, right? And then it was like, Ahsoka's Fulcrum. Ahsoka's Fulcrum. Like, just like the absolute joy. And yeah, and by that point, you know, she's been like working like as, you know, helping these rebel cells, and she's obviously really into them because main characters, but also because of Ezra and Kanan Jarrus, and like them being like force, Kanan being a Jedi and Ezra being force sensitive and trained by Kanan. So there's definitely a connection there as well. And yeah. And also she gets to like meet Rex again when he's older. It makes me so happy. The great joy I have of like, I just like love an Ahsoka's in everything, and I want her to follow me forever.
So
you make a robot to do that.
And like, so Rebel, she's not as much of like a lead character as she was like within Clone Wars. But she's like a very key, like supporting character within it.
Yes.
Like she's primarily in season 2, and then she doesn't show up again until season.
Is it? It's 3.
I can't remember. Is there 4 or 5?
There's four. This will, because basically they were talking about how this Ahsoka season might be like the 5th season.
So
wait, am I wrong? Oh no.
Is there?
I mean, I'm pretty sure Filoni said if you don't know Ahsoka, all you have to do is watch.
There's four seasons. Yeah.
So I can't remember exactly if. So let's do season 2 first. So she gets highlighted as Fulcrum at the end of season 1. And then she basically joins them for season 2, like with the missions and stuff that they're doing with that. Becomes like more or less part of like the ghost crew with like Chopper and Kanan and Zeb and Ezra, aka Saladin, and Harris and Dula and Sabine Wren. Sabine is a Mandalorian. Sabine is tangentially kind of related to Bo-Katan.
This was
a conversation we had at a different
She's like a cousin basically, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's another Mandalorian family, and she
so
gets the dark saber and like gives it to Bo-Katan. It's a whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, Maul shows up again in here too. He still has the dark saber at one point. So and he at one point like within the second season of Rebels, like he's kind of trying to.
What happened?
He like calls himself Old Master. Yeah.
Yeah, it's go. Like yes. So which is interesting because she's obviously faced Maul before and like had him captive and everything. And yeah, and he's like he's tricking Ezra basically. And I'm pretty sure this is when they're on Malachor because this is when they run into Vader. Is like or those might be two separate things. I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
it's the same thing because it's like the Sith.
They're in the Sith temple. Yeah, they're in the Sith temple. And yeah, that's where Maul is. Maul has gone through a lot. Just so everyone knows. Maul's had spider legs, he's had real legs, now he's in here. And basically he is being driven by his like deep desire to kill Obi-Wan, which is its own other beautiful part of Rebels. But yeah, he like tries to sort of like sweet talk Ezra, who doesn't know who he is. But yeah, that is that they run into him, but it's that Malachor like episode where they're there with that Sith temple where that Vader goes there and he is there to kill her. Like he knows who she is and he is like, I'm gonna kill you. And that's when she's like, oh my God, it's Anakin. There's this like part where they're fighting in this temple and it's like falling down around him. And like part of his helmet comes off and like you just see his eyes and then the rest of the helmet. And it is phenomenal and devastating. And the look on her face, I know it's animated, but the look on her face is just like out of control. And then
Rebels did it first, but
before Rebels did, yeah. That's right. It was an Obi-Wan too. Yeah. Then it like collapses around them and like Ezra and all the rest get away and they're like, she's dead. Ahsoka's dead. And then then it's like, I think that must have been season 3 and then maybe it's in season 4 that it's like, you've been thinking Ahsoka's dead this whole time until I feel like I'm like
the world between worlds as I don't remember exactly what the circumstances around the world between worlds, like, and how
I think Ezra was. That was when you were talking about the return of like the Mortis, like the father, son, daughter, like he gets into that space. Like there's like,
there's the cavern on that.
And something Palpatine was using, wasn't it?
Palpatine wanted to get to it. Oh, yes.
Something with Palpatine.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Cause he was like projecting himself, not as like for Palpatine, but you know, Palpatine, like if he wasn't all deformed by the dark side.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm an old grandpa guy. I'm cool. You like me.
Right. Ezra gets
candy from my pocket.
Ezra gets from the world between worlds, which I feel like the visuals of that have been showing up in all these Ahsoka.
I've seen it speculated. Yeah,
or very, very similar-ish to it.
Yeah. And yeah, that kind of space. And basically, yeah, it's literally a space between world time and space. And then that's where he sees Morai, right? The little owl thing. And he's just like, what? And then one of the spaces he comes to is this space in time when she's fighting with Vader. And he literally pulls her out right before she dies. Ah! It is, to me, thrilling. It is extraordinary. And it's Ezra, who, like, she has this relationship with, but, you know, it's like, it's just very wonderful and it's great for both of their characters. And that's when Palpatine kind of like gets in. It's Palpatine. he starts trying to get to them and they have to basically split up. And that's when Ezra is just like finds me. And I think that's what's like, you know, and then basically after that is like, so she's like, she has to go back to her own time and space. And she promises like, I will find you. And the rest of Rebels is then that Ezra basically defeats Grand Thrawn. I'm like, Grand what?
Grand Thrawn. Admiral
Thrawn. Admiral. I was like, he's an admiral, right? I was like, Marshal? No. Admiral Thrawn. Yeah, yes.
Who will be important again in the Ahsoka series.
And it's gonna be the voice actor. It's the Mikkelsen brother.
Yeah.
Not Mads, the other one.
The other
no,
Mikkelsen.
No, Mads made the Death Star.
True.
Yeah, that's true.
He made it poorly.
He made it poorly. Yeah, he made it poorly.
but on purpose.
Yes. So
he wanted his daughter to destroy it.
So yeah,
that was his plan all along.
Ezra uses the space whales, the Purrgil, to like fly him and Thrawn off into hyperspace to who knows where. And yeah, the very end of Rebels is like Sabine and being like kind of like meeting up with Ahsoka, basically to be like, we're gonna go find him.
Yeah. And so, and I mean, from some of the trailers, it seems like it might show up in that, like, is what's funnier too, is a lot of people like call that version of Ahsoka like Ahsoka the White, or like, you know, like Gandalf the Gray, yeah, or like Gandalf the White. She's got like a hood over like her her tip.
Her lethium.
Yeah, her lethium. I couldn't remember what they're called. And then she's got like the big, like, you know, like
staff.
Yeah.
You shall not pass staff. And in there, like, Sabine's even got like more of like kind of like a pixie cut going on.
She gets that little pixie
at that point. Yeah, she looks kind of like Aspen, you know.
Yeah.
But just it's just colored though. I think
cool colors
because it's like the pink and purple. Yeah. Which that was like the first thing I noticed, like in the Ahsoka trailers, was like, oh, why is Sabine's hair so like long? But I guess they've shown that too, like that, like she eventually cuts it too. So I don't know how much passage of time was between that and that, because they don't really tell us like when this like epilogue for Rebels is supposed to take place, other than they show that like Hera and Kanan had a son. Mm-hmm. Apparently Jason Syndulla is going to show up in Ahsoka somewhere. So I was saying that Mary Elizabeth Winstead is like keeping it in the family of, you know, like Ewan McGregor is Obi-Wan Kenobi, so she'll be in Star Wars 2 as Hera Syndulla. And then I don't remember the actress that's playing Sabine,
I don't remember her name either, but
I also don't remember who's playing Ezra either.
He's the guy that was in, he was Aladdin in Aladdin.
Was it him that got cast?
Yeah. Yeah, it's that guy.
Which that makes it funny, since everybody called Ezra like Space Aladdin in the first season of Rebels too. So it just kind of goes to that. Oh, Mena Massoud, I think is his name.
According to this, it's Iman Esfandi.
Iman Esfandi.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Oh, I see. When I look at the episode one, when I look at the Ahsoka cast, I do see Temuera Morrison in here as Rex. So that's good. And then Natasha Lou Bordizzo is Sabine.
So it seems like the only holdover then, as far as like the Rebels crew, is Zeb. Because I mean, we don't know if Zeb's going to be in this. Zeb showed up in season 3 of Mando, so Steve Bloom is still voicing him there. So it'd be cool to see if he showed up. It doesn't seem like they would build out that CG character and make him look so good just for
one episode.
3 minutes of.
Mando. I was wrong. I was wrong about Aladdin. By the way, he's not Aladdin. I thought he was. Maybe they were.
I think he was. I think he was in Running at one point.
Oh, maybe that was it. I just can't. I don't want to lie to people.
You don't want to be a Jedi.
Yeah. Right. Listen. Only Sith deals in absolutes.
Which that itself is an absolute.
I know, right? Jedi's are obviously always doing whatever. Yeah. So Rebels, fantastic, brilliant, perfect. And Ahsoka again is being kind of described as being like this fifth season of Rebels. So I am excited for it. You know, I do wonder about the ability of it to be like, you can watch this without knowing anything about Rebels or these people. Obviously, I think, like, Mike, it seems like maybe watching recaps of Ahsoka have been helpful.
Very much so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very much so.
I wonder if it would be beneficial to, because you know Disney Plus has the Legends, like quote unquote show for Marvel, like they'll release like these 7 or 9 minute like vignettes, like about characters that like whatever the next thing that's coming out is about, to kind of like catch you up on that character. Like they like when Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness came out, they had their one for Doctor Strange, there's one for Wong, there's one for the Scarlet Witch. So you'd be like, oh, you watch that, and it like shows you couple of times they showed up, and it's essentially like
Bob Iger said, "There's
Disney
too much
making,
Star Wars
making their
Marvel,
own so. Recap." Yeah, but it's like they don't have to make anything new. They're just basically making their own YouTube themselves. So it was, I thought maybe like they could do the same thing for Star Wars if they wanted to on there. Like,
yeah, I mean, why not? Yeah, I mean, I did appreciate the whole like Ahsoka Tano essential episodes. Like I said, I literally went through them and I was like, yeah, this is what I would have said, but still a lot. Like, it's,
yeah, it was way more than I had anticipated when I was.
And they're all at least 30 minutes long.
So. Well, like you said, she's got like the richest backstory.
Yeah, and even then, it like reduces the number of like early Clone Wars episodes. Mm-hmm. Like, but I can see what they're obviously trying to do, which is be like, okay, we're gonna like focus on some like Rebels for sure. Like,
yeah, Filoni even said, just watch season 4 of Rebels. That's like all he said.
Yeah.
There you go.
And
then this kind of brings us basically to the handoff from Ashley Eckstein to Rosario Dawson, where the first time we see Ahsoka in live action when she showed up in the Mandalorian episode called The Jedi, which is essentially like an Akira Kurosawa like samurai like short story where Ahsoka is like the samurai like taking on like the like small village a little bit, and that she's even got like the her hilts are even kind of like her newer hilts are like closer to like the thinner like samurai sword kind of hilts too, and just like that whole episode. What did you guys think of like when she first showed up in Mando and like how they shot that? Because I think those are physical like sabers that had like that had like a physical light on them. They've been doing lately with it, so it's actually projecting the light on everybody else.
I was into it. I obviously like squealed. And I, you know, it's funny because like I think what I felt while watching it is I was like, yeah, this is at this point a different Ahsoka.
Yeah.
I think I have to think of her a little bit differently than I do. Cause like, I would say like the Ashley version of Ahsoka is like, to me, has a lot of life, and a lot of like expression and like, is like fiery. More and I think,
anime?
Like, got it. Yeah. So this one is like, I guess, I think I was taking it as this is an older Ahsoka who has like is like a real like has gone through so much, has like perfected mm-hmm. her form, has like learned more about who she is and what she needs. Like, it's very interesting that it's called the Jedi. I mean, for naming purposes, great, in a Kurosawa type of way, but like I feel very strongly about her not being a Jedi.
I wouldn't call her one myself.
She wouldn't call her one herself one, you know.
I am no Jedi.
Yeah, literally. Like, yeah. And so I did like that episode a lot, and I liked Rosario's performance and like the way that episode looked. And I think I just kind of have to be like, it's a little separated in my brain, you know, like it's just a different sort of experience. And I'm pretty okay with being like, it's a different season of us, like literally like a season of her life, kind of Ahsoka. Mm.
She's had many.
Yeah. She's been in a lot of seasons.
She's gone through some stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it is a really, as I recall, I was really good episode. So
that's the episode we find out Grogu's name.
Oh right,
she communicates with him. Yeah, and that's like the first time we see like flashbacks with Grogu to like basically Order 66, just before Ahmed Best came in and but yeah, and then like she more or less like says like gives like the like, here's your mission, go to this next spot to get to the next save point in your video game,
right?
I don't remember if we see her again in that season. I don't think we do.
You see her again in Book of Boba Fett,
right?
Yeah, because we don't see her again until Book of Boba Fett. She's with Luke. I want to know what conversations they're having. Because that's the son of like her like former like best friend, like mentor. You know,
brother. Yeah, like
the, well, yeah, they're like both, they're both dead. Well, I mean, Vader is dead. You know what I mean? Like Vader is dead. But I think I saw somewhere that Filoni said that we are like, there's going to potentially be some kind of like flashback where we do see that first time that Luke and Ahsoka meet.
Yeah, I've heard rumblings that they do the de-aging on Mark Hamill again.
I wouldn't be so, like, when we were talking about Sabine's hair, I was almost wondering if, because I do remember seeing her hair short where you said that, like, in the trailers, and I almost wonder if that's flashback, is, like, Sabine hair short, because there's also going to be, like, a master-apprentice relationship with Sabine, again, kind of annoys me a little bit, because I'm like, she's not a Jedi, whatever. But also, maybe she wanted to take her on. I was like, is Sabine Force-sensitive?
Or she just doesn't, just doesn't care so much at all about the Jedi religion, so she's like, I don't care. I'll teach you. And Sabine already has like the Darksaber training, so she's like,
you're right. I take that all back. I think that actually does like break out of like the expectations far more, because I subscribe to the Rian Johnson of it all, that's like, you know what? Let's all be goddamn Jedi. So, like everyone's an activated slayer. Like, you know. So like,
I mean, because she knights Kanan in Rebels too.
And Sabine does.
Ahsoka.
Oh, nice. Right. Yeah. Yeah, right. I'm remembering that.
Palpatine wasn't a Jedi, technically. He didn't have that training. He taught himself.
Right, yeah. He did it. So. You know what? I think I was just being grumpy. I think it is good. I do like this. And so my thought is maybe the flashbacks are of like her training Sabine and she has short hair. And now she comes back and she has long hair to show the passage of time. Like maybe that's it. So maybe there's flashbacks of that space too, you know. So
I found it interesting that she was helping Luke start this school, knowing where this school ends up in the sequel trilogies. Just like it's such a nice little thought, like, oh, she's gonna help train him the right way, and then Kylo Ren.
Oh, buds. Yeah.
And that's the last time we see her in live action, was within that Book of Boba Fett episode.
Oh, and you know what was, I realized we didn't mention this, an important part in that Mandalorian episode is she's like the person that they're going there to see, the like that magistrate. It's like she was like an apprentice of Thrawn, so she's like trying to find Thrawn so she can find Ezra. And because that's her promise. I'm going to find Ezra and we're going to get to him somehow. Because we can only assume they are together with the Purgle somewhere.
Well, Grogu can see the Purgle, so he can take her to them. And then they can jump through time.
So
there's cyberspace, whatever.
Now that we're kind of like caught up with her timeline up until next week when the show premieres. With me being stuck in the world between worlds again, a little bit for you guys. with what would you turn it? What would you want to see? Where that first episode picks up between like where we left off with her in Book of Boba Fett and where that first scene of the first episode of Ahsoka picks up.
Nom, nom, nom.
Great. I don't know if I have an expectation of what I want to see. I just hope they continue making the story and the characters good, and not just like placate to Disney to make it bubblegummy.
I do have faith in Dave as someone who loves his creations and loves just the story and the Star Wars of it all. Even if it's like not a perfect, my hope is actually that it feels like Andor, though I don't know how realistic that is. And it's like earnestness, like it's authenticity, and it's like commitment to characters and like making mistakes and like connection. And like, I wouldn't hate, you know, just like having that kind of reconnection with Sabine Fast, you know, and Hera and those, because I want those relationships. I love them. I love that she's connected to all these people. We didn't talk about it, but she's even like, she knows Bo-Katan. Like she's literally touched everybody. So yeah, I guess that's not super specific, but it is, as long as my thing is like, yeah, as long as they like lean into the things that I think make Ahsoka incredible, which is like her, like the many adjectives I'd name for her, of like, you know, committed and an incredible friend and fearless and wise at this point, a total joy, like, and someone who deeply, deeply loves and cares about people, then like, I think it should be good, you know? What about you, Mark?
Yeah, I'm excited for, I'm excited because I know that Dave Filoni wrote all of the episodes for the show, and that he's directing two of the episodes for the show. And I guess the only last thing that we didn't cover as far as like her timeline, the farthest thing out that we know of, and it doesn't necessarily mean that she's dead by that point, is that Ashley Eckstein did the Rey is like calling upon all of the Jedi with her duel against Palpatine at the end of Rise of Skywalker. One of the voices there is Ahsoka. So that doesn't necessarily mean that Ahsoka's dead by that point. Well, but
Hera's ghost ship was there too. I guess like could have been on that.
Yeah. So that's like the technically the farthest, very farthest point out in the timeline for Ahsoka, which how old would she be at that point?
I guess she's in her...
Because Ahsoka's series is only set... So, I mean, she was like 14. I think we established and... It's 20 years after Clone Wars. It's New Hope. So that's 34. And then,
according to this, she's 47 in this series.
Okay.
I loved you, so, Mark, like being like, I'm going to do the math. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And I just saw Mike just like go, tap, 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 tap.
That's right. Need to know.
Yeah. So, but then for Rise of Skywalker, she would be, that's another like 30 years added onto that. Plus, then there's like 3 years between Last Jedi. Rise of Skywalker, so 33 plus the 47. Yeah, so she'd be like in her 70s by Rise of Skywalker time.
Her race might be one that can do it. You know.
Yeah,
know.
Yeah. I mean, she could be like Yoda, where like
Grogu's 50.
Yeah. Uh
oh. Now it's my turn to be like, how long do Togruta live? Yeah, I remember when that happened.
Could be like Skrull.
Togruta have an average lifespan of 80. 82 standard years. But those who are keenly attuned to the Force could live up to 200.
So. Oh, okay, well then she's only like not even like, you know, 50. Midlife crisis yet.
Right. She's going to be happy and living forever. I love her so much.
She'd be like 400 because with how attuned to the Force she is.
Yeah, there you go.
Deeply attuned. You know, it was funny. I was thinking when that came out, when Rise of Skywalker came out, I actually hadn't seen any Clone Wars and Rebels. I hadn't seen any of this. I remember people talking about it, about her doing like Ashley's voice being in there and it being Ahsoka and that being like a fun little Easter egg. And me just being like, what are you talking about? And then it was like over the pandemic that we watched all of it. And I was just like, I love this. This is the only part of this movie I like. It's Ashley's voice as Ahsoka. So, an important watershed moment for Aspen. So
so I that basically brings us to the so Aspen will actually be here with Kenny again, both you guys from Trek Wars, and for anybody
tune in, we will go off the rails.
Listen, Yeah, it'll be like poetry. It'll rhyme.
God.
I'm sure that the three of us will make Aspen uncomfortable again too.
I will be deeply upset the whole time. I'll be like, "How many bad dad jokes can we make?"
Oh, we'll go all out.
A lot of bad dad jokes.
So many. But yeah, and then if you guys haven't listened to Trek Wars before too, Mike and I were also on a recent episode of that with you guys, talking about a muck time. Speaking of stuff in the muck. And then the second Ewoks movie, The Battle for Endor.
You don't need to mention that.
It's art. True art.
Yeah, if you ever want to see like a Star Wars alien like on crack or like speed, watch the
Battle of Endor. Art.
Well, he's probably a Jedi like we talked about.
Oh.
Yeah.
Got the speed Jedi run.
That's where it came from.
Yeah.
Spicy taste.
So, yeah. You can leave us a lot. You can find the show on Twitter. It's not at Hold a Pod. Instagram at Hold a Pod. Facebook Hold a Pod. YouTube Hold a Pod. And Mike and I are also on Instagram.
Somewhere. Yeah,
where can they find you, Aspen, and Trek Wars?
Yeah, so Trek Wars Pod, you can go to TrekWarsPod.com, and that's where you can find all of our episodes and other cool things, but you can find us on our Instagram at Trek Wars Pod, and we are technically still on Twitter, even though Kenny says that we aren't. I don't think he's updating it, but sometimes I go in there and I do things, because listen, it's a terrible place to be now. It's like a weird, like, apocalyptic hellscape, but I'm still there. But those are the main places. I would say Instagram's a good one, but you can always, you know what? You can like always write us an email, trekwarspod@gmail.com. We like emails. So yeah.
And as I'm getting Blue Sky codes, I'm giving them to people too. So once I get some more, I will give them to the people here in this chat right now, as well as Kenny.
as well as Kenny. Just throw them in there.
And then our editor for the podcast is Factor, and then @gmail.com. But here's Mike's favorite part of the episode. As always, we are grateful for George Lucas for creating the Star Wars universe.
Oh dear, thank the maker. You were kind of choppy, so I wasn't with it. Your chopper ended up.
Chopper. You're going to like Chopper, Mike. All right, bye, everybody.